Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman, and I thank you for listening to AFR. Joining me to talk about what's going on. We got some good stuff to share with you today. And joining me to talk about this is Mr. Positive himself, Ed Battagliano.
Mr. Positive.
Move over, Joel Osteen. Here comes Ed Battagliano. He's ready to.
I tell people that Italians give Jewish people a run for their money. On complaining.
And loudness?
Yeah, well, yeah, loudness. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I don't even actually have an inside voice. It's all outside right. Voice.
I don't know if it's ethnic as much as it is what part of the country you're raised in.
That could be, too. That could be.
Even Swedish New Yorkers are loud, I've noticed when I'm up
even
there.
Even Swedish New Yorkers. So
maybe you got
to
be loud
to some. Huh?
Maybe you got to be loud to yell over the subway. I don't know what the deal is with that. But Walker Wildman's here with us. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be on the show.
How's the twins are now what, 9?
I'll tell you. It's funny you ask.
Yeah.
Last night they're 9 months old. I've got a 2.5 year old.
Walker and Lexi have twin sons.
I got twin boys and a 2.5 year old. So I've got 3 under 3.
Yeah.
And last night, for the first time in 9 months, they slept through the entire night.
Oh, my goodness.
From when to when? From
8, like
from 8 to 5?
From 8 p.m. until 7 a.m.
Wow. 11 hours.
You are blessed.
You didn't give them cough medicine or anything
like
that?
No, all natural.
All natural?
Yeah.
Come on, Ed. You never gave your kids cough medicine once.
My wife did it.
Okay. That's really not drugs because it's not. It's not illegal.
It's not addictive.
Right.
I'm warned one occasion. I said, where's the Benadryl?
Yeah. That's what the kids use.
You can either do the cough medicine / Benadryl, or you can get in your car and ride around the neighborhood for about an hour.
Yeah.
If you want to do that trying to get them to sleep. So, Walker, you've done that too, right?
Yeah. But we went all natural last night.
Okay.
So they slept all night.
Fred Jackson, good morning, Fred. You want to confess to any parenting sins?
No. Huh? No. But I do want to say, based on Ed's comments, that he doesn't have an inside voice. Mm-hmm. Never tell a secret to Ed. Because he's likely to say, what'd you say?
I promise I won't tell anybody you just did. Blah, 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 blah.
Nobody will ever know.
All right. We welcome you to our program. A lot to talk about. As I said, we got some good stuff today. We got some positive things to talk about.
Amen.
Not all of it's good. We got some real bummers.
Right. Yeah,
because Ed's here.
Yeah, well, you should expect our usual list of bum out stories.
Yeah,
they're coming your way, but we're also going to mix it in with some.
Yeah, we do have some
great
some
stuff.
Some unicorns, some rainbows, some puppies,
some puppies.
All right, what do you got, Fred?
Well, I tell you what. Anybody who listens to the program knows Ed and I are big into hockey.
Yes,
but we don't do a lot of hockey stories. But there's a great hockey story to start off with. Last night in Detroit, Michigan, the Detroit Red Wings were playing the Montreal Canadiens. And as it is at National Hockey League games, when there is a team from Canada and a team from the United States, they play both national anthems.
Right.
Or they have a singer come out and sing them before the game. Well, last night in Detroit, just before the game, there's a lady came out to sing both national anthems. Sang the American National Anthem first, and then she started to sing the Canadian National Anthem, but there was a malfunction with her microphone. So what do? You know, there's silence for a second. I want you to hear what happened next. Unprovoked, unled by anybody, the audience there in Detroit, Michigan, took up where the singer could not do anymore, and they started to sing the Canadian National Anthem, cut number 14.
So that's like 10,000 Americans singing the Canadian national anthem?
There's probably some Canadians. They'll come across the border.
Yeah. It's close.
Yeah.
From Windsor. But not only, they were singing the national anthem of the opposing team.
Right.
But at that moment, I was very proud of those dear folks in Detroit for doing that. They showed a lot of class.
Of course,
class.
As you grew up in Canada, that's the national anthem you grew up with, right?
That's right. That's right.
But that was what a great gesture on the part of those.
Told me the story, I said, "Well, let's lead with that because it's good news." Yeah. But and I think most Americans, 95% of Americans, would do the same kind of thing if they would think about it, because the contrast was with those who. In this country, disgrace the national anthem.
Yes,
by kneeling and criticizing and all that.
Now, what you weren't able, were unable to show with that audio was Colin Kaepernick skating out and to the middle of the ice to the arena and taking a knee. He did slip down and hurt his leg
and is going to sue.
And quite frankly, I didn't cry for him. You know what I'm saying? So.
It's what was respectful and classy.
Yes.
Good for them.
It's just, hockey fans, whatever side of the border, they tend towards being good patriots.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They really do.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Proud of them.
Absolutely. And I'm not a huge fan of the organ, but I do like hearing it every once in a while.
Yeah. That's neat.
You got the organ. You got the organs at the baseball and hockey.
Do they? How about like the NBA? I hardly ever watch
NBA. No, it's all rap.
It's all okay. Yeah. So there's no
organs in rap.
Okay,
not that I'm aware of. But anyway, by the way, I've heard that churches are having a hard time. The few churches that do have organs, which that's rare, keeping organists.
Oh, find people who can play it.
Yes, because they're not. Yes,
well,
exactly.
I never thought about that, but it's an
so
instrument.
So there you go. If you want to. You want a weekend job right there? You might consider learning how to play the organ.
Yeah, I'm going to jump right on that.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. Next story, Fred.
Absolutely. Well, listen, there's...
excuse me, Fred. Walker, tell people how they can watch on the internet, and then we'll go back to Fred.
Yeah, right. Facebook and YouTube, both places you can watch the show, Facebook and YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues.
Thank you, Walker. Back to Fred.
All right. Still making news, of course, is in the aftermath of the attack on Tuesday evening of the Iranians saying they want to get back at the United States for taking out the terrorist leader. And that's what he is, Soleimani, last week. You know what you probably have heard if you listen to the mainstream media is, of course, the president's under attack from the Democrats, the mainstream media. For taking out Soleimani. In fact, Nancy Pelosi, I was just reading you guys a quote from her. Mm. She called the president's decision to kill Soleimani, this terrorist leader, provocative and disproportionate. All right? Now, that's how Nancy
Pelosi. Seriously?
That's what she said. Provocative and disproportionate.
Wow.
And to that point, she is planning today in the House, Democrat-controlled House, to take a vote to limit the president's powers in these kinds of incidents, all right? Now, what you're not hearing in the mainstream media these days, there are probably hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Iranians around the world who are glad that Soleimani is no longer with us. He not only killed hundreds of Americans, he killed many of his own people. Who got out of line in his eyes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, he killed 1,500 just a few weeks ago.
Yes.
In Iran.
Iran. So the voices you're not hearing of these Iranians, fortunately, want to play for you a voice of an American young lady. She is Iranian. She's been in this country for 12 years. And I am so glad she has done this. She's gone on, I think, both Facebook and she's now got it on YouTube.
Right.
She has gone out there and she said, here's the real story about how most Iranians feel about the taking out of this terrorist leader. And we want to play you.
Yeah. Do you know her name?
Her name
Erica.
Is
Erica.
Yeah. Sagar Erica Kazrai.
Okay. So what you're about to hear, folks, is a Facebook post. It's a video. We've posted it on our Facebook page for Today's Issues. So if you want to watch it in its entirety, and we've decided here, it's about 5 minutes, 5 minutes plus, right?
Right.
So we've debated in our show meeting this morning whether or not to play the whole clip, because that's a long time. But we've decided it's worth it, and you need to hear this. And again, you're not hearing much of this on the mainstream liberal media, because if you hear it, they don't want to do anything that reflects good on President Trump. So they're keeping these kinds of voices out of the mainstream media as best they can. But it is getting play on social media. The Iranian dissidents, Iranian people who've left, and their feelings on what happened. Let's play this.
Hi, friends. So a lot of you have been reaching out to me, asking me my opinion about what's going on and, you know, wanting to know my opinion. So here's my two cents. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Sagar, also known as Erica for my American friends who can't say Sagar. I am Iranian American. I have spent the last 12 years of my life as a human rights activist working on Iran policy, watching the Middle East. Yeah, it's a super complex issue, and many of you probably before today had never ever heard of the name Mohandas or Soleimani, but I feel like we're living in the Twilight Zone, guys. I'm completely outraged at this notion that the propaganda machine that is the media is glorifying Qasem Soleimani. Do you people know that this man has not only the blood of Americans on his hands, but the blood of Iranians, Iraqis, Yemenis, Afghanis? I mean, since when did we start mourning the death of a terrorist? I mean, seriously, I've had like friends on the left, both Iranian and American, attack me for echoing the rhetoric of my people. The people in Iran are happy. The people in Iran are happy that this man who was responsible for the slaughter of so many people is gone. Like, where was your outrage last month when the regime slaughtered 1,600 kids for peaceful protests? Where's your outrage for the thousands of political prisoners that are in Iran right now? Where was your outrage when the Hashd-e-Shaabi took over the American embassy and like vandalized it and killed an American contractor? Like, I don't understand. So I'm sorry if I'm ranting, but who cares? My opinion doesn't really matter, but for the in the interest of those that have reached out, here's the deal. I'm an Iran watcher. I'm an Iraq watcher. I'm a Syria watcher. I'm an Afghanistan watcher. And for the people on the ground, they don't hate America. They don't hate Donald Trump. In fact, there's a lot of trending hashtags right now from Iran on Twitter. Thank you, Trump. We thank you. Thank you for, you know, Soleimani. Thank you. You know, go look for yourselves. And, you know, honestly, guys, if you don't know anything about the Middle East, please keep your opinions to yourself. I beg you, because all you're doing is you're distorting the flow of information. You're drowning out the sound that's coming out from the ground. And people in Iran are happy. And they are giving out, you know, and you're in the Middle East, it's cultural practice to, when something wonderful happens, when there's a marriage or when there's a celebration, you give out cookies, you make cakes. And you should see the videos that are coming out. People are baking cakes. People are giving out cookies in public in the streets because they're happy. You know, I mean, I don't know. Do we live in a closed society that we don't know that most people in the Middle East are not free? Specifically in Iran, it's an Islamic state. There's no freedom of religion. There's no freedom of speech. There's no freedom of peaceful, protest. And for anyone who disagrees with the regime, they're arrested, they're jailed, they're tortured. There's a lot of video coming out right now about, you know, the funeral of Qasem Soleimani, it's so much propaganda, you guys. The regime has been saying death to America for 40 years. They forced us in school to say death to America. I was 7 years old. I didn't know what I was saying. And the people that are like saying that right now, they're called the Basiji. They're like, you know, they're getting paid. They're the ones that get paid to kill people on the street. So yeah, they're going to say death to America, but that's not the people. The majority of the people in the Middle East don't hate America. They don't hate Donald Trump. And I'm probably going to lose a lot of friends for saying this, but thank you, Mr. Trump, for making a very hard decision and for having the moral courage to do something that probably a lot of world leaders wouldn't have had. Anyway, that's my two cents. I love you guys. If you want to have a conversation, let's engage. Let's not attack. It's not healthy. And hashtag everybody calm down. There's no World War III coming, okay? God is in control, not man.
Wow. Again, that was a Facebook post which we've linked to on our Facebook page. You can go and watch and share. We don't know this woman. We do know her name, obviously, because it's on Facebook. But yeah. I don't know her, nor had we heard of her before last night when you sent this around, Ed.
Yeah, and might be worth us trying to look up something about her and maybe getting her on the show to share what she knows.
We'll try that.
What's going on in Iran, because those are the kinds of voices that you said, Tim. You tried to go on Google to find, to look for stories about Iranian Americans to find, and
let me, yeah. And Walker, you can come in after I say this, and I've said this a few minutes ago. Well, by the way, go to our Today's Issues Facebook page, and you can access the full video that you just heard. Now, it's just so obvious. The liberal mainstream media in this country, and internationally, but certainly in this country, and the Democrat Party and the progressives, the socialists, their objective is to oust Donald Trump in November because he is beating them and he's stopping their goals to take over the country and change America, namely change America and turn us into a socialist country. We know these things. I mean, they're not Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and those, they're not even hiding it anymore, okay? They should be hiding it if they want to win, but they're not even hiding it anymore. So, with that in mind, when something happens that reflects positively for President Trump, they're not honest brokers. They're not objective reporters where they say, well, you know, most of them. You might find one here or there. But these people so hate Donald Trump and they so want to get rid of his administration that they say to themselves, we cannot let this help President Trump in the polls. So we've got to underreport it, shape it in some way that makes it look dangerous, mm-hmm. or like he's some kind of a wild-eyed cowboy that's going to get us into World War III. So that's how they initially. That's how they were reporting it. Oh, the Iran drops the bombs, and we're about to head into war. This is World War III.
Yeah,
we don't know what's going to happen in the next few days or few months. I'm sure Iran will do some things bad, but doesn't appear to be they're ready to launch into World War III. But I'm just saying to you, and most of you know this already. That's the reason it's important we hear from voices like what we just heard, because the people in Iran are. They're under the thumb. Thumb is not even a good word. They're under the
heel.
The jackboot.
Right.
Of these Ayatollah religious fundamentalist leaders over there, Islamic.
It's an Islamic state.
It's a theocracy, and in the same way China does their people, and they're an atheistic state. The Iranians are oppressed, are tortured, or murdered. Anybody who speaks up at this, and for Nancy Pelosi, my goodness, the Speaker of the House, to say what President Trump did was disproportionate, or what else did she say?
Provocative.
Provocative. Yeah. By taking this guy out.
Walker? Yeah, well, there's this false binary narrative out there that you have to either be anti-war, isolationist,
right,
pull out of the Middle East, zero bases in the Middle East, which is not a good idea, because Iran will sweep that. Iran and Turkey will surround Israel. Or you're a warmonger, and you just want to get involved in endless wars and American lives. But that's not...
Those
scenario,
aren't the only two choices.
Yes, that's not the only two choices. What President Trump is doing is a balance. He's doing a balancing act that no other administration since Reagan has been able to do. And he's able to display strength, but yet not get involved in wars, in unnecessary wars. That's what President Trump's doing. Other administrations have had Soleimani in their crosshairs. Everybody knows where he goes. We got our CIA assets tracking him all over the Middle East. What he's been doing for years is traveling, working with foreign terrorist organizations, and the billions of dollars that Iran has, they've been funding
their
proxies through Soleimani, and he's been plotting terrorist attacks against American soldiers.
And others, Brits and others.
And other ally nations. So this guy was a bad guy. He needed to be taken out. President Trump had the strength and the boldness to take Soleimani out.
Yes.
Other administrations were too afraid of the repercussions that Iran would inflict.
You know, that young lady, Erica, is her American name. She used a term, closed society. Now, what she's talking about there is a society that has one stream of information.
Right.
And we have a trifecta in this country that's underway right now that's nothing but left-wing propaganda. Democrats, mainstream media, and our university campuses.
Right.
Those three areas
are
swaying public opinion, and they're under the umbrella of a lie of what's going on out there. And that's why you won't hear Erica on CNN and NBC.
Right. Right.
Or if they did have her on, they would attack her.
Right.
Yeah, and you want to know the foreign policy strategy of appeasement, which is what Obama's strategy was, send them money, try to talk.
Pretty please.
Don't use military action against Iranian proxies. Here's what it got you. Not only did Iran purchase the missiles fired at Iraqi/U.S. bases with our money, that the $150 billion was used to purchase these missiles, the Trump administration confirmed. Secondly, Soleimani, the terrorist, felt so free because of our appeasement. He felt so liberated that he was traveling commercial into Iraq. He flew a commercial airline into Iraq because he knew the U.S. wasn't going to do anything, or he thought. He landed commercial at Baghdad before we took him out. But the fact that a foreign terrorist felt so emboldened that they could fly commercial into a war zone and get away with it.
You know, I was reading last night, I'll try to find this, but it was a Democrat congressman. And they were showing his comments after our embassy was attacked. And he was saying, see, they're not scared of Trump, or they're not going to... These people are attacking us, and Trump's not doing anything. Then Trump took out Soleimani. This same congressman, I'll find it. This same congressman, a Democrat, was saying, "Wow, he's putting us at risk."
Yeah,
yeah.
So they get up every morning. By they, I mean the Democrats and the liberal media. How can we make President Trump look bad, even if he's doing something everyone recognizes as positive and good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why Bill Maher said we've got to have the economy collapse so that we can get Trump out of there.
Right.
That's how these people think. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
King of the Wild Frontier.
The music's free. I know we call it Learning University.
Of necessity.
Trivia Friday.
True.
Ding, ding, ding,
yes.
Ding, ding.
Oh, really?
That's correct. Giraffes do not have vocal cords.
So you want a cheeseburger without cheese?
Hold the cheese.
I said, yes, ma'am, whatever you call it.
Take a break with Tim Wildman and the gang. Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
The Hand of Providence. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. That's what George Washington, the father of our country, called God's work in our country, the hand of providence.
It is amazing and astounding, the stories that go on and on and on about how the Lord intervened to create the United States of America as a very special place on the globe. We're going to see all this history, as much as we can at least, in Jamestown, Yorktown, and Williamsburg. That's in Virginia. And then we're also going to Washington, D.C., and George Washington's Mount Vernon Estate. We're going to do this in June and September, and you can join us by finding out all the information at spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com. We hope to see you then.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. The Crave Coffee Bar in Arlington, Tennessee was packed with teenagers drinking coffee and studying for exams when the unthinkable happened. A car plowed through the building. There were as many as 30 young people inside the popular hangout spot, and first responders surely imagined they would be facing a mass casualty event. But it turns out only four teenagers were hurt. No serious injuries, just cuts and scrapes and bruises. Some would say the young people were lucky, but Lana Hickey, the owner of the coffee bar, tells me there was divine intervention. Mrs. Hickey says she watched the surveillance video of the crash, and she believes she saw God's hand literally moving the teenagers out of danger. Every child moved by at least an inch. A reminder that God is always there, always watching, tending his flock. Be sure to check out the latest edition of my Toddcast podcast. It's a free download at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman, with Ed Battagliano, Walker Wildman, and Fred Jackson. If you would like to send us an email with a gift card for Cracker Barrel, for example, you can do so at comments@afr.net. Comments@afr.net is our email address. As Walker said earlier, you can contact us on our Facebook page or our YouTube page for Today's Issues. We've got Frank Gaffney joining us in just a moment, executive chairman of the Center for Security Policy and radio talk show host in the evenings right here on American Family Radio. But, Ed, you made a good point off the air. You want to, or I ask you to tell our listeners what you were saying.
Well, we were making the point. We're talking about Qasem Soleimani and, you know, the taking out of that monster of a man. But he was in Baghdad. This is what the Trump administration is saying, according to the information gleaned from intelligence services, that he was in Baghdad to work on more efforts to kill Americans. And the media, we're talking about those who have said that the president's killing of Soleimani was
provocative. Nancy Pelosi says provocative.
Provocative. And what else? She said it was
provocative and disproportionate.
Disproportionate. Mm-hmm. Consider what would have happened if the administration, according to intel, knew that Soleimani was in Baghdad to plan the killing of more Americans and did nothing. Mm-hmm. If Trump had done nothing and these plots had played out and Americans had died, and this same news media, this same Nancy Pelosi, found out that the Trump administration had the opportunity to take Soleimani out and did not do it, and Americans died, what would they have said? Would they have
said,
"Oh
my goodness,
that it was disproportionate"? Or they would have crucified him for doing nothing. Yeah. But when he does something and takes this guy out, then he criticized. To your point, Tim, this is all partisan and all about
it.
Politics. Every bit of it is about politics. They wake up in the morning. What can we do? What if President Trump turns to the right to sneeze, that proves he's a fascist. If he turns to the left to sneeze, they don't care what he does, he's in for a beating.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Exactly right.
Frank Gaffney joins us now, executive chairman of the Center for Security Policy and talk show host here on American Family Radio. Thank you, Frank, for being on with us, brother.
It's always a privilege to be with you, and thank you for having me on the show later in the evening. If I could just answer that rhetorical question, what would the Democrats have done? They would have impeached him. That's what they would have done.
Yes.
And no, you're right.
Derelict of duty.
Happened already, but that would have been a whole new pretext. And the truth of the matter is, you know, Soleimani's day job was killing Americans and others, but Americans most especially. To think that he was doing anything other than that, or preparing to do anything other than that, as he had been doing for the better part of 22 years as the commander of this Quds force, the elite of the elite Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps of Iran, is fatuous nonsense and frankly, recklessly irresponsible on the part of particularly people in positions of power in the United States government to suggest that that's the case. And if I could just make one other point, what Soleimani was doing that warranted fully what was done to take him off the battlefield was essentially trying to establish this hegemony for Iran in the region, which is an even bigger problem than, you know, the loss of American lives and you know, the damage that he's doing to allies. It would have been a mortal threat to Israel, of course, to other friends of the United States, such as they are in the Middle East, and to our vital interests there. So I think the president deserves credit for what he has done, not the kind of calumnies that he's been getting from Democratic presidential candidates and others.
Frank, it's Fred Jackson here. Nancy Pelosi has announced that in the House today, they are going to vote on a resolution with regards to the War Powers Act. Reports say this is the wording of the resolution the Democrats want to pass. Quote, Congress hereby directs the president to terminate the use of United States armed forces to engage in hostilities in or against Iran or any part of its government or military. And then it goes on to say, unless Congress declares war or enacts in legislation authorizing use of force. So basically, that resolution, and it is just a resolution, it would have to pass in the Senate too. But I think what it points to is that Nancy Pelosi wants to tie the hands of this president, which gives the upper hand to the enemies of this country.
No doubt about it. And the fact that this is happening, we mentioned impeachment a moment ago, the fact that this is happening in immediate juxtaposition to what Democrats have recently been claiming was the president's compromise of national security by the withholding for a brief period of time of foreign military assistance to enable Ukraine to get access to weaponry to defend themselves. It shows how completely unmoored the Democratic Party has become from the actual principles and practice of national security. I was a Democrat myself, a Scoop Jackson Democrat back when there were such things. And I can only tell you that my old boss, Scoop Jackson, Henry Scoop Jackson, former senator from Washington State, is turning at a very high RPM in his grave. At what is happening to the party that he once loved and which he proudly served, because these people are so preoccupied with political warfare against our own president that they have no understanding of the service they are providing to people who are engaged in other kinds of warfare, the old-fashioned kind of warfare, as well as more asymmetric and subversive kinds, against us. Namely, the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Hey, Frank, I want to ask you an angle or a question that I don't hear talked about much, but it seems, and that's not paid attention close enough. I don't think I've heard China or Russia or some of the other major players on the world stage express a lot of outrage at the death of this guy, Soleimani. Or usually they would be attacking America for, you know, China. I don't know if China would, but certainly Putin would, Russia. So, I mean, what's going on there with that?
Well, it's a very interesting question. I think that the Russians and Chinese are very anxious to cultivate their relationship, their strategic relationship with Iran. It's a little bit more of a checkered thing with the Russians because they're somewhat concerned about the jihadism as it might emanate and direct towards them from Iran. But by and large, they both see this as an opportunity to exploit the divergence, shall we say, between the United States and Iran. To wit, they recently conducted tripartite exercises, naval exercises, out in the Indian Ocean. This is something that I think you're right to say, well, wouldn't you expect that to translate into more, fervent denunciations publicly? And the only thing I can ascribe that to, I think they've done their bit, you know, in their various media outlets and diplomatically and at the UN and so on. But I think that you're not hearing a lot more about it because, frankly, I suspect they understand that the United States was operating entirely within its rights to take out this terrorist in the world.
Yeah, it couldn't.
An awful lot of America.
And they might not want to do. They're kind of like the Democrats here in America. Maybe they don't want to give President Trump credit, so they just won't say anything. But they're secretly glad this guy's gone too. Because I'm thinking, if you're China, you're Russia, and some of the other economic powers in the world, you need the Straits of open, and you don't need a hot war between the United States and Iran, and what that could do to the world, upsetting the world's economy. So they would have an economic interest, and they know what that might. I don't know how much oil China gets from Iran or Russia does from Iran.
It's substantial.
Okay, so there
the
you
Russians
go.
Don't, but the Chinese do for sure.
Yeah,
and they're doing it, by the way, in violation of sanctions. You're right. I think they don't want to rock that particular boat. But the larger point is that the Russians and Chinese would be very happy to see the United States driven from the Middle East and for them to be able to fill the vacuum.
Right. One other question that I have related to that. Walker was mentioning this earlier in the program. President Trump, as do all presidents, have a balancing act to do with respect to our power on the world stage. Military bases we have in Islamic countries, for example, which people are always telling us that is what provokes the attacks on Americans. Even conservatives are split on this somewhat. It's easy to say, and I think we conservatives lean towards getting out of the Middle East or staying away from the Middle East, for example, or maybe some other parts of the world, because what business do we have there? And it only complicates things and gives people reasons to attack us. Now, for example, let's use Iraq. We have a small number of forces in Iraq. Post-war, when we took over and liberated Iraq and all that. Now, if you do like some of our fellow conservatives say, I think this is where Tucker Carlson comes down, and they say, well, pull all of our troops out. Get out. We have no business there. We don't want to get into an endless war. Well, seemed to me, Frank, then you say, then Iran's going to come in and completely take over Iraq, uninhibited, and then you're going to have, in the end, worse problems than you do by staying with a minimal force. Anyway, go ahead and talk about that, if you would. I don't know where you come down on that.
Well, I think it's just common sense. If you buy the idea that if we leave everybody else alone, they will leave us alone. Then there's no downside risk to pulling out forces and you know, coming home America, as it's been said in the past. I don't happen to believe that's true. I think the world is awash with people who want to do us harm. And, you know, some people, the Democrats, often blame us for that. I don't think that's so much the case, that we've done something they don't like, as it is that we're in their way. We are an impediment, a speed bump at least, if not an actual roadblock to the accomplishment of whatever their agenda is, whether it's the Sharia supremacists, as I call them, of Iran or elsewhere. Whether they're the Chinese totalitarians with their Belt and Road initiatives and other aspirations for global dominance, or the Russians or anybody else who has in mind having their way in the world, and we're, as I say, a potential block to their ambitions. They are going to come for us. The question is where, when, and under what circumstances. And yeah. I think maintaining where you can do it on the cheap, small numbers of Americans forward deployed so that you can deal with these contingencies that arise as a result of their ambitions, not because of what we do, yeah. and not because we're there, but because of their ambitions. That is a vastly preferable way to deal yeah. with this than to deal with their threats here,
yeah.
which is what I believe will ultimately be our fate if we have to come home, America, and deal with the consequences.
Well, folks, if you haven't tuned in, please do weekday evenings on American Family Radio. You just heard from Frank Gaffney. Frank is the host of the program Secure Freedom Radio, and it airs at 10 p.m. Central Time each weekday evening here on American Family Radio. Frank, thanks for being on with us this morning, and appreciate your work here on this.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me. Let's do it again soon. Happy
okay.
day.
Thank you. Frank Gaffney, yes.
I just want to, some of our Facebook viewers are wondering how to access that video that we played from Erica Kazrahi, I think how you pronounce her name. She's the Iranian-American girl who was talking about what's happening in Iran. If you go to our Facebook page, Today's Issues, and look on the left, there is a tab there that says Posts. And you click on that, you just scroll down, you'll get her video. So... want to make that, and that's true about anything we post during the show. Brent Creeley, our producer, posts. We'll often post articles, and you can also watch the crowd sing "O Canada" and at the Detroit Red Wings game. We talked about that to start off the show. That's how you get to the posts.
Brett, let me ask you this: it is, of course, we're all basically the same mind here in this room, and when you, in terms of, we love this country. And we love our values, and we see the we want freedom and liberty and human rights and all these things for as many people in the world as can possibly enjoy them. And this is what people long for around the world. Mm-hmm. That's why America. That's why people come to Canada. They come to the United States mm-hmm. for these yes. values. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know. That's why the millions of people coming up from North Africa and the Middle East. That's why they're clamoring and getting on boats to go to Europe.
Right.
They're not going to Saudi Arabia.
Right.
They're not storming the borders of Yemen.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia doesn't have a crisis of refugees from Europe.
No, from Europe right. or fellow Muslims.
Right.
Fellow Muslims from Syria who are escaping war in Iraq and Syria and ISIS and all these things. They're not going to another Muslim country. They want to come to the Christian West.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Why? Because it's the yearning for freedom.
Yes.
All right? Mm-hmm. Now, some of them have sinister plans. Obviously, they want to, some of them, but I see a tiny, tiny number of them want to do harm to Europe. Most of them just want to come there to live freely.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? And enjoy the benefits of a Western civilization. Because wherever Islam dominates, it's horrible mm-hmm. for the people.
Yeah,
that's right.
All right. Mm-hmm. So, why do you think Ed and Fred and Walker, and then when we got good news or good slash some news on the Chick-fil-A front, we're going to get to in just a moment. Why do you think it is then that we have to decide from the mainstream media in this country and the Democrats whose side they're on in this clash of civilizations?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, because look, freedom. In a sense, freedom is a double-edged sword. You can use freedom to do, that's the point. You can use freedom to do whatever you want. Our founders understood that. George Washington, in his farewell address, said, listen, we are entrusting this sacred experiment, we're entrusting it into the hands of the American people. So you can
And religion use, and morality are essential
indispensable
to...
supports, he said, to political prosperity. In fact, George Washington also said, no man is a patriot, even if he claims to be, if he tries to subvert those two pillars, religion and morality. So you can use freedom any way you want. It's kind of like when God gave man free will. You can use it to serve God and to honor God and to glorify God, or you can use it for selfish reasons. And I think that the left in this country has gone off the rails in terms of their ideology and their worldview. Many of them hate God. Whether they admit it or not, whether they know it or not, they have made themselves enemies of God, and they are using their freedom to subvert the very things that this country that made this country great, because those things are rooted in God.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's why.
Yeah, and along with that, I think that a large portion of people, at least in power in our country, especially the Democrats, some of them have bought into the lie that America. That America is the problem, that America is the aggressor. And if
imperialism.
Imperialism.
This is what Colin Kaepernick said the other day.
This
of course,
is why,
he's not really a legitimate spokesperson on this, but anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, this is why President Obama runs the foreign policy of appeasement. And he lets the Iranians basically do what they want because America's a bad guy and we've got to make things right with the Middle East or with Iran. But that ideology does not work. That position does not work because we're hated because of our freedom. The freedom that Ed talks about is why various countries throughout the world hate us, because we export freedom and democracy and liberty and good economics. And that goes those free ideals, those ideals of freedom, go work against the powerful countries around the world.
And left-wing thinking is this, to a large extent. Donald Trump's fascism is just as bad as Iranian terrorism.
That's what they think.
That's what they think.
Yeah.
That's what they think.
And that's what's being promoted.
That's why they say what they do.
Yeah.
Right.
Linda Ronstadt, the former singer. I know a lot of these people are celebrities, and you go, what real credentials do you have to speak to a given topic?
But they're influential.
Yeah, but they are influential. They're cultural
icons.
So Linda Ronstadt says the other day that basically President Trump is like Hitler.
Oh, my goodness.
No, no, no. Yeah. To the Mexicans.
Oh, okay.
The Mexicans are the new Jews, she said. And she's talking about President Trump wanting to control our southern border.
Yeah.
And she sits in her ivory tower, multi-million dollar home, making pronunciations like this, which are idiocy.
Yeah.
But that's the to compare wanting to control to what President Trump is trying to do to control our southern border to concentration camps where you gas people by the millions and make that moral equivalency.
Right.
Mm. I'm just bringing that up because this is the way, this is the warped way that the left thinks.
Yeah.
Many on the left thinks. And so they're thinking, how do we stop Trump's fascism? You know, from recruiting new Nazis.
Right.
We can't say anything positive about him or commend him at all.
Yeah.
Even if it's glaringly obvious that what he has done.
Well, because to them,
good.
You'd be giving credit to Hitler.
Right.
For building the Autobahn.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Hey, some good news on the Chick-fil-A front. We got a letter back from Dan Cathy, the CEO of Chick-fil-A. We wrote him, a month ago or so?
Mm-hmm.
After, the news came up that they were ceased to fund the Salvation Army and the FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and they were going to fund the Covenant House. In other words, getting away from supporting traditional Christian ministries and supporting other groups, and so because the left's been after them, accusing them of sponsoring hate group, and Chick-fil-A changed their and wanted everybody to know they were changing their funding of which organization. So we wrote them. Ed, you want to tell us what happened there?
Well, yeah, and you sent a personal letter to Dan Cathy, who's the CEO of Chick-fil-A and the chairman. And in that personal letter, you asked him two questions. You asked, first of all, will Chick-fil-A publicly state that it does not believe that the Salvation Army and Fellowship of Christian Athletes are hate groups because of the ministry's belief about marriage and sexuality? And second of all, will you publicly state that Chick-fil-A will not hesitate to fund these two ministries again should the opportunity arise in the future? We wanted to make sure that what Chick-fil-A had done was not because they were believing the attacks of the gay pressure groups, the homosexual pressure groups, against these two ministries and thus against Chick-fil-A. So we did get a letter back over the Christmas break, Dan Cathy's written response included this statement, quote, "We inadvertently discredited several outstanding organizations that have effectively served communities for years." So we were very happy to hear that. We think a lot of evangelicals were happy to hear that, because that clarification made it clear that Dan Cathy says inadvertently they had, in a sense, insulted Fellowship of Christian Athletes and the Salvation Army, but also by calling those organizations outstanding organizations, we believe that'll mean a lot to evangelicals. Now, we did also and are making clear that the decision by Chick-fil-A to fund the Covenant House, which is a Catholic ministry that has an outreach to homeless young people, which we applaud. We also applaud the fact that Covenant House will take in young people who identify as homosexual. So Covenant House is helping kids who are in desperate circumstances. We applaud that. But Covenant House is also affirming of homosexuality. We do not believe that ministry has a biblical view of human sexuality. They had a float in the New York City Gay Pride Parade. They are cited by the national group Drag Queen Story Hour. Covenant House is cited as a safe space for Drag Queen Story Hours, those kinds of things. We are going to continue to watch Chick-fil-A and their future funding decisions, because Covenant House is problematic.
Where can people read Dan Cathy's letter to us?
They can go to afa.net, and you will see at the top of the page our action alert. Just click Read More, and in the letter or the response from you, you can click on and look at a PDF of the entire letter from Dan Cathy.
We're not giving Chick-fil-A a pass on this, folks, altogether. Okay, we're just trying to be fair.
Right.
And we've reported, I put the letter that Dan Cathy wrote back to us, we put it up there for you to read at afa.net, afa.net, or on our Today's Issues Facebook page. Everybody have to make their own decision whether it's a good enough answer and whether or not Christians are going to continue to do business with Chick-fil-A or not. That's up to the individual.
Right.
Okay? But we wanted to be fair to Chick-fil-A. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.